This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in Daily Ticker Time on a Friday. Excited for this one as bowl season is right around the corner. We got all sorts of news on Oregon and Oregon State offensive coordinators. We got a Rose Bowl coming up. Lots going on in the college football world, including the Heisman Trophy being handed out tomorrow night. Joining us now to talk about all of that and more, Adam Rittenberg, our friend from ESPN, senior writer for college football at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Adam, thanks so much for the time today, man. We really appreciate it. I'll just start. I haven't had you on since the college football playoff was announced. We know the four teams. Oklahoma ends up number four. Not a lot of drama that went into it after Saturday night, but just your thoughts initially on the matchups and what's coming on December 28th.
Well, it's good to be with you. Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good playoff, especially the Clemson-Ohio State game. I tweeted this a few days ago that I know it's kind of recency bias, but I can't remember a semifinal that I've been more excited for than this one, just because it's two undefeated teams, two teams that have been so dominant, two incredible quarterbacks, two great running backs, two great defenses. So, you know, that one certainly stands out. I think Oklahoma, you know, was deserving of the four spot after, you know, Utah lost to Oregon in the Pac-12 title game, but they're going to have their work cut out for them against LSU, especially with LSU playing a little better defensively. It just seems like a team of their fate is to play in New Orleans with Joe Burrow trying to win a national title. It just feels like that's what's going to happen, but Oklahoma has a chance to stop that. And you know, they've been in the playoff and LSU hasn't. And that should, that experience in theory should help them. You know, quarterback Jalen Hurts hasn't been in the playoff with Oklahoma, but he has been with Alabama. And so that should help them prepare for that LSU game.
Well, and then on that too, I know Larry Scott had some comments that fired everybody up out here, and I haven't talked about him yet on the show today, but basically, you know, we got to keep the Rose Bowl intact. He's not quite fighting for an 18 playoff. And you look again now, this is a year, at least last year, you had another conference on the outside looking in with you because Notre Dame made the playoff. This year, the four other Power Five conferences are in and the Pac-12 is the only one on the outside looking in. What do you think that says about the conference and how should the Pac-12 handle this conversation? Because they've only been in two of the, 6 years or 5 years it's been now.
Yeah, and I think before the Pac-12 title game, Larry was pretty upfront about what it would mean to not make the playoff and what it would mean to make the playoff. And so they're using words like painful, and it is painful. And, you know, understanding that the entire perception is shaped by whether you get in or you get, or you're not in, right, even if you're not that great. I mean, the ACC has not been a good conference. Okay. But Clemson gets in every year and they win the national title. And so they don't take the hit like the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is just the worst football on the planet because they don't make the playoff. I don't think that's necessarily true, but you have to get teams in. And that's why I think it would behoove Larry and it would behoove the Pac-12 to be more vocal about an 18 playoff, because that's where we're going to go eventually, I think. And I think there's more discussions behind the scenes about it. I just don't think it's healthy for the sport when you have a conference left out 3 years in a row. We can certainly debate what the Pac-12 could do differently, but the margins are so small here. And I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if Oregon had made the playoff this year in an 18 system. Obviously, they didn't make it in the four, and I get why they didn't. Mm-hmm. But I think going forward, that's a good thing. You want everybody represented. You want it to be a national playoff. And that, I think, should be the message coming out of San Francisco with the Pac-12 headquarters.
Yeah, amen to that. We're talking with Adam Rittenberg, a college football writer for ESPN. Go give him a follow on Twitter at ESPN Rittenberg. Now, I was reading up your piece on ESPN the other day. It was great because it was a breakdown and a pick for every single bowl game. Now, there's way too many of these, but I love bowl season no matter how crappy the matchup is. And it was funny just to hear a little tidbit and then your pick at the end of it. But then you had a colleague at ESPN who ranked the bowl games from most entertaining or best to worst. So I'll ask you, Adam, what give me your top five. The college football playoff, you mentioned that semifinal, everybody's jacked for it. But outside of that, give me your top five bowl matchups.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can give you everything. I haven't thought about all of that in terms of entertainment, but I would say Rose Bowl would definitely be in the top five with Wisconsin and Oregon, you know, two teams that have similar structures with their offensive line play. They both have an elite player in their backfield with Justin Herbert for Oregon and Jonathan Taylor for Wisconsin. So you're always excited for that one. You know, I think, the Sugar Bowl is, you know, interests me just to see if Georgia is going to show up and if Baylor can complete an incredible season with a win over Georgia. You know, no one expected Baylor to be here, and they already are under Matt Rhule. So that one would certainly be, a game that I'm looking forward to as well. And, you know, Michigan, Alabama, I think the brand names jumped out. I don't know if it'll be a particularly competitive game if Alabama wants to play. But I think there's a lot of interesting subplots there with the two coaches and the fact that Michigan's looking for a win like this. And does Alabama even want to play the game? You know, there's a lot going on, in going into that matchup. You know, and one that I'm really looking forward to, just because I study these teams really closely, is Notre Dame and Iowa State.
Yeah.
You know, matching up in, I think it's the Camping World Bowl. Iowa State's a team. They went 7-5, but they lost four of those games by a total of 11 points. They've got a really good offense, a really good defense. They just haven't found ways to finish games. And then Notre Dame, I don't know about you, but this is the quietest 10-2 Notre Dame team that I can ever remember. Nobody was talking about them all year. They don't have a lot of star power, but quarterback Ian Book, has put up some big numbers. Their receiver Chase Claypool is an outstanding player. So interested to see those two match up. Very balanced teams.
Yeah, and then Notre Dame, I mean, you look at their two losses too. I mean, they're quality losses at Michigan and at Georgia. That's not bad. A lot of teams would have lost at Michigan and at Georgia. So that's a good point. I'm excited for that one as well. We're talking with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. You mentioned the Rose Bowl being an exciting matchup. I know a lot of Duck fans are fired up just getting back there, winning the conference. There's always the what if you didn't trip up at ASU or if you scheduled easier and you didn't have Auburn in the non-conference, but the Rose Bowl is a pretty damn good consolation prize. What'd you make of the news today that Marcus Arroyo is going to be calling plays? That kind of caught me off guard. I thought he was going to be gone. What'd you make of that news, and how do you think that plays into, I guess, Oregon's game plan?
Yeah, I'm glad to see it because it's always good when a coach can finish out the season with his team. You know, you've seen this in the college football playoff when coaches have gotten jobs. Kirby Smart, most notably a few years ago when he got the Georgia job, remained with Alabama through the playoff. Actually, Jeremy Pruitt did the same thing when he had the Tennessee job. But, you know, this isn't a playoff situation, so oftentimes that's your cue that you can leave. And it's just nice that Marcus has decided to stay on and finish with Justin Herbert, who he had a big role in developing over the last few years. And then obviously they'll hire their new coordinator at some point. But I always like to see coaches finish out the seasons with their teams, and that's going to be the case here, even though he's obviously got a lot of work ahead as the new UNLV coach.
Yeah, and you reported something else in-state offensive coordinator-wise, and I wanted to get to this today on the show. It's pretty big news for Oregon State. You reported that Brian Lindgren turned down the job offer to be the next Arizona State offensive coordinator. Were you surprised by that? Because I remember seeing the headline that his name was going to be one of the guys that they were going to go after, and then you reported that they offered him the job. You kind of think jumping to Tempe, maybe more money, a bigger profile program potentially, but I would imagine a pretty positive news day for Oregon State keeping their offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it is. He's done a good job there. Jonathan Smith's done a great job, at least this year, in getting them a lot more competitive. And I heard that Brian even had opportunities last year, maybe even in the NFL, to explore possibilities. And it just shows that he's excited about what's going on in Corvallis right now, and they feel good about their chances to make another step forward in year three. You know, ideally getting, the next step is obviously to get back to a bowl game, but maybe making even more noise in the Pac-12 North, as they were very competitive in that division throughout the entire season. So yeah, it's definitely good news. We'll see what Arizona State ends up doing, whether it's Zach Hill from Boise State or whether it's another coach. And Zach sounds like he's got some opportunities as well elsewhere in the Pac-12, at least to explore. But Arizona State remains very interested in him.
Yeah, and you mentioned too a few moments ago when we're talking about the Pac-12 that eventually we're going to get to 8, and I've continued to see that coming out of these athletic directors talking and conference commissioners. They're acknowledging it, but there's kind of this vague of when we're going to get there because the TV deal is not up for a number of years. So a two-parter for you, just because I love dreaming about it, and I think it would be great for college football, especially when a lot of fans have a decreased interest in some of the other bowl games outside of the playoff, and it's playoff for buzz. How many years do you think it's going to take to get there, one, and then two, what is the correct format to go with if it is an 8, like, five conference champions at large, power or a group of five team? How would you like the format to look?
Yeah, so yeah, I think we're probably looking at the end of the cycle, which is still a number of years away. That's what everybody was saying out of New York this week, where a lot of the commissioners were meeting, a lot of the athletic directors are there for various events. You know, I initially wasn't in favor of having automatic qualifiers, but my view on the playoff has changed in recent years, you know, in large part because, you know, the Pac-12's been left out, the Big Ten's been left out. I think if you're going to have a national playoff, you need to have national representation. So I'm in favor of the five Power Fives getting an automatic bid and then having, you know, either three at-larges or, you know, in years where there's a really strong group of five candidate like Memphis was this year, to have that team get in with a couple of at-larges as well. I just think, again, you know, everybody's so concerned about finding the best team. That's going to happen naturally. But right now, yeah, it's a system that does not provide opportunity. And it's absolutely not a national playoff because of the scheduling differences and some of the politics that go into the decision making. So I think if you want to do that, like every other playoff system in this country and every sport, make it national and create more access and opportunity, even for teams that can't win. I mean, everybody freaks out about, well, this team couldn't win in the college football playoff. Which playoff system out there only contains teams that can win it? You know, maybe the NHL is literally the only one where every team can win. In basketball, we know who's not going to win. In baseball, generally, we know who's not going to win. You know, so and obviously the NCAA tournament contains a bunch of teams that have no chance. So I just think there's such an arrogance around college football about, well, our playoff has to contain, you know, only the teams that are the absolute best. It's just silly, because what it does is it creates a lack of interest, I think, in important areas of the country like the West Coast.
Yeah, amen to that. We're looking potentially, if Clemson and LSU win, you can have another year of an all Southeast or a national championship. And there's a lot of folks out here in the Northwest. I mean, they're going to watch the game and be interested in it, I guess. But much more intrigue if you have a team from the West Coast involved. I'll get you out on this one because I'm going on vacation. So I'm in a great mood today. It's my last show before Christmas vacation, so I'm not going to be back. So I'm talking a lot about the playoff games today. Give me your winners, and then who do you think is the ultimate national champion, just in case I don't get a chance to talk to you or have you back on the show before it happens.
Yeah, well, I got to stick with those initial quick picks, at least for now, you know, without knowing who's going to, you know, be hurt or other coaching changes. But I'm going to go with Clemson and LSU, and that LSU completes its dream season, you know, beating Clemson behind Joe Burrow at quarterback, who will win the Heisman by a very wide margin on Saturday night.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see Ed Orgeron win a national championship, so that's for sure. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. Give him a follow on Twitter, at ESPN Rittenberg. Great stuff as always, man. We really appreciate the time, and have a good holiday season, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again here soon.
All right, thanks for having me on. Have a great vacation.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.